Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is David E.J. Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter. And you are now listening to Training Camp Dialed In. I'm bringing you the best of the day's news from the 2019 NFL training camps. And most days, not all days, but most days, I'll be featuring phone calls with writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. There's a reason there's a phone in the pod logo, folks. I'll be getting their first-hand accounts of the action from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all August long, as I'll be bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with fantasy football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean. This is season 2, people. We did this all last August. We're doing it all this August. So stick around. Let's have some fun. And we are back. Presented, as always, by Dynasty Happy Hour. And you know, this week, I've been using this space a lot to do little, short comedy bits. You know, I'm trying to make this an interesting listen. Do something different. You've got a lot of fantasy podcasts out there talking about a lot of the same stuff. I'm trying to be a little bit different. Some of you might like it, some of you may not, but doing these bits got me thinking about my favorite bit on my favorite late night show of all time, the top 10 lists on Late Night and Late Show with David Letterman. And so what I thought I would do right now is my own top 10 list. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's tonight's top 10.
All right. Here we go. The top 10 signs you know it's NFL preseason. Number 10. People from your home keeper league actually respond to trade offers. Number 9. You lost interest in the game faster than it took you to heat up your plate of nachos. Number 8. You recognize more of the refs than the players. Number 7. You're a Bills fan and you have hope. Oof. Sorry, Bills Mafia. Number 6. Watching the game still isn't a good enough excuse to get out of that gender reveal party yet.
Oh, that's a girl.
Number 5. When people talk about camp battles, you finally know for sure they're not talking about that dude whose tent you ruined. Number 4. The announcer spent the last 5 minutes talking about the new season of Glow on Netflix. Number 3. You're watching the new season of Glow on Netflix instead of your team play. Number 2. It's weird to see Andrew Siciliano on TV because you thought they kept him in a box in the Red Zone studios. And the number 1 sign you know it's NFL preseason. You've said the phrase, Mike Glennon? Okay, now that I've indulged myself with that, it's time to get to the reason we're here. Because we have a prime time guest. And we're going to be talking about one of the most exciting teams for fantasy this season. I'm talking with Dave Burkett. He's the Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. And he's a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. They don't just hand those things out. You can find him at Dave Burkett on Twitter. You've heard him quoted on other fantasy podcasts, but we are actually going to get to hear from the man himself today. And he's about to deliver the definitive guide to the 2019 Detroit Lions. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Burkett.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Yep.
Thanks for talking with me last year. Thanks for talking with me this year. How's it going?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good. The Lions have some players people are very excited to hear about, so why don't we hop right in?
Let's do it.
Last year, the Lions were 25th in points scored with 324 and 24th in total yards with just over 5,200. So while they weren't all the way there, they were at this first step down into the bad offense cellar. And a deeper dive reveals they were actually top 12 in total plays. So this was a team that was on the field a good amount, but not doing a whole lot with those opportunities. From what you've seen at camp, what are head coach Matt Patricia and new offensive coordinator Daryl, that's a lot of L's, Bevel, doing this season in terms of scheme and formations that's going to generate some more efficiency in real life and for fantasy gamers?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to look at Bevel's history to kind of understand what they're going to do. And the Lions certainly want to run the ball a little bit more, be more efficient running the ball. You know, they're going to use plenty of two tight end sets. That's why they emphasized that position heavily this offseason, signing Jesse James and drafting TJ Hockenson. You know, Stafford has had sort of an up and down camp. I mean, the Lions gave him almost a week off. You know, he's thrown a couple interceptions here and there. You know, I don't think he's been especially sharp, but I chalk some of that up just to, A, it's camp, and B, he is learning a new offense and working with a variety of receivers, a bunch of them young that, you know, probably won't be on the field when the season comes around. So I'm not too worried about Stafford, but I don't think the Lions offense is going to be, you know, that much more sudden, I guess, than it was last year. You're not going to see this team all of a sudden be one of the top offenses in the NFL. The hope is just that they're more efficient in what they do.
You mentioned the two tight end sets. Is that going to be their standard package? Are we going to see some three wide receiver sets, though, the 11 formation?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's something that we'll definitely see that. I don't, you know, I think we'll see just as much two tight ends as we will, you know, three wide receiver sets out of this team. You know, it's definitely, look, it, you know, the Lions drafted Hockenson for a reason, right? They spent the number 8 pick on him for a reason. He's going to play, and he's going to have a big role this year. What they're doing with him right now is they're sort of giving him just one part of the offense, letting him learn sort of that pass-catching role that they want him to play. He's going to be a red zone threat, but you're going to see his role expand as the season goes on. But, you know, they still do have Danny Amendola as a slot receiver, Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones. So their thought is that they'll be able to mix up packages a little bit and kind of tailor their offensive attack to whatever the defense's strengths and weaknesses are.
The longstanding stalwart in this offense is quarterback Matt Stafford. You mentioned his camp a little bit. He alluded to his age, saying, I'm not 21 anymore. Last year, he had a bit of a down year for him, not even cresting 4,000 yards or 25-plus TDs. That's what he's usually good for. As a result, fantasy gamers have lost their love for Stafford that he built in his past happy days of yore. Can you dig into his camp a little bit more? And how are they planning to deploy him this year versus previous years?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd be lying that I wasn't concerned about, you know, the 6 days off. Or maybe I shouldn't say concerned. Maybe if I, you know, that it didn't raise a red flag. You just don't often see, you know, quarterbacks, 31-year-old quarterbacks especially, get essentially a week off of training camp in the, you know, in the early part of August. So, and, you know, especially a guy that's coming off a back injury last year. So, you know, your antennas are automatically up. He says he's healthy. The Lions say this was previously planned. Matt Patricia has done a really good job of taking his time, bringing veterans back from injuries this year. You know, Marvin Jones has gotten a lot of time off. Mike Daniels hasn't practiced yet. There's a whole lot of things the Lions are doing to make sure these guys get to September healthy and are ready for that long haul. You know, Stafford is, last year, I think it was a lot of square peg, round hole. You know, the offense just didn't work. It was Jim Bob Cooter trying to fit something that maybe he was not. You know, and Daryl Bevel, this is more of what he is. He and Matt Patricia, they're sort of aligned with their thinking. So I think the offense should flow a little bit smoother this year. I think Stafford will have a tick up in numbers. You know, he's not gonna push 5,000 yards again like he did early in his career, but you'll probably see him back up around that 4,000 yard mark. And you know, the hope is just that being able to rely on the running game and being able to have some of these more, you know, these safety valves at tight end, that, you know, maybe the turnovers and the sack numbers go down.
Your antenna is raised with Stafford's injury history and his days off. Do you feel this regime has a significant enough backup plan in case Stafford can't make it out there?
Well, no, but I think that's more of, you know, about the state of quarterbacking in the NFL than it is about what the Lions have done at the position. I mean, they've neglected the position, you know, but look, I've said this a couple times this summer, you know, it's the people who've asked me about it, it's sort of like the old Tom Moore line when somebody went out Indianapolis Colts practice and they said, why don't you give your backup any practice? And he said, well, because, you know, if 12 goes down, we're screwed and we don't practice screwed. And I think that's essentially what it is with the Lions too. You know, I mean, doesn't matter if it's Tom Savage or David Fales or Josh Johnson or whoever, they're, you know, the Lions are in trouble if Matthew Stafford's not on the field. And so from that standpoint, again, I understand why the Lions are trying to make sure that he's ready to play the next 5 months of the season and not just play in this preseason game.
Let's move on to the guys Stafford is throwing to in the receiving core. Third-year wide receiver Kenny Galladay is a fantasy darling, from Babytron to his smooth routes. His play on the field has provided a lot of fodder for the fantasy industry. Both sharps and home league chumps are looking for him to build on his 1,000-yard season. How has he looked in camp, and are they doing anything new with him that could see him get in the end zone more than the 5 times he did last season?
No, Galladay's this team's number one receiver, you know, and he's going to be Stafford's favorite target downfield. He's obviously a big body. He's going to catch some balls in the red zone. So, yeah, I like, you know, where he's trending. I like what he's going to be for the team this year. You know, Marvin Jones has a little bit of a, you know, the Lions held him out of practice here for the last week as they're kind of monitoring his return from a knee injury. So, you know, there's no doubt that Kenny Galladay is going to be this team's number one receiver. I don't know that they're doing much different with him, you know, this year. I mean, they certainly moved him around a little bit last year. I just think with, you know, maybe with having some of those other weapons in the red zone that other teams have to cover, you know, big tight ends, Jesse James and Hockenson, that maybe that might see a little tick up in the numbers for Galladay touchdown wise. But, you know, I think he's probably going to end up somewhere around the numbers that he had last year, maybe getting up to 80 catches. Still topping 1,000 yards receiving.
Have you seen an evolution in the way he carries himself from camp to camp, Kenny Galladay?
I mean, look, you know, when he came in, obviously he was the third round pick. I don't think anybody kind of knew who he was, and he kind of got hurt at the end of his rookie season. And so, you know, last year he was, I think it was more about prehab, you know, than it was about, you know, really building up for the season. I mean, he was coming off a hamstring injury. This year the Lions held him out of spring workouts with another little minor injury. But, you know, he said that he's sort of, you know, he thinks he can be a 100-yard receiver in this offense. You know, he thinks he can build on what he did last year. You've seen a little more confidence in him. I don't know that, you know, that there's much else different about who or what Kenny Galladay is.
Going into last year, Marvin Jones had a ton of buzz, and you've mentioned he's been out so far this year. He didn't travel with the team to Houston for the scrimmage practices with the Texans. What's the timeline for him to get up to full speed? And when he does, is he going to return to a prominent role in this offense? Film grinders still love him for his precision.
Yeah, I mean, he's the number two receiver on this team. You know, I think the Lions have a pretty clear cut top three. It's Kenny Galladay number one, Marvin Jones number two, Danny Amendola number three, and there's just a bunch of question marks after that. And, you know, Marvin, he's still going to be a deep target for this team. Look, the Lions, Matthew Stafford and Marvin Jones, they didn't have the same deep connection they had last year that they did back in 2017. Obviously, both of those guys missing a little bit of time here. You know, I do worry whether that deep ball connection is going to come back right away, how long it's going to take. So, you know, I don't know that you're going to see a huge tick up in his numbers, especially with, you know, the addition of the tight ends and the new emphasis on the running game. But, you know, Marvin Jones is still a number two receiver from a real life perspective. And, you know, he's probably somebody that you can play in your flex, you know, in fantasy.
You mentioned Danny Amendola. Is he going to provide any value for fantasy gamers this year?
You know, I think he's worth rostering, but I don't know that you want to start him on an every game basis. You know, I mean, he didn't have a great year last year. He is going to be a third down safety valve for the Lions. He'll catch a bunch of balls. I don't know that he's going to go for a lot of touchdowns or, you know, even a lot of yards. He sort of is what he is at this point. Again, he has a clearly defined role, so, you know, maybe you want him on your team, and there's certain games if another team is really weak at that nickel cornerback spot, maybe you could see the Lions try to exploit that, but I don't know that he'd be starting on an every week basis for a fantasy owner.
So more of a DFS play than a redraft play.
Yeah, you know, bye week guy, something like that you kind of hold around and then you really want to rely on a weekly basis.
Any other Lions receivers worth mentioning?
No, not for fantasy purposes. I mean, Chris Lacy's another guy that, you know, is probably in line to make the roster, but, you know, he's not going to play unless those other guys get hurt. Travis Fulham, their rookie, you know, six-round pick, same sort of deal there.
Obviously, this team is on team hashtag establish the run. So let's get to the reason that a lot of people are listening, which is for some hardcore Kerryon Johnson content. I'm sure you've talked about him a lot this summer already. His hype train hit the stratosphere when Theo Riddick was cut a couple weeks ago. As someone who has eyes and ears on this team day in and day out, can you describe to listeners what makes Kerryon so good and his pathway to living up to that hype?
Yeah, I'm buying on Kerryon this year. You know, I think he's, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to have a big year. And, you know, he's another guy that has some injury concerns, so you certainly have to take that into account. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he got 20 touches a game, somewhere around there between rushes and receptions. The Lions aren't going to overwork him, given his injury history, you know, and the fact that they went out and got C.J. Anderson as the backup. But, look, Kerryon's a guy that can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He's a pretty slithery guy. I mean, he averaged 5.3 yards per carry last year. You know, that's a really good number, and the Lions are going to run the ball more this year. So, you know, Kerryon's going to play a big role in that. I would say the one area that you might be able to benefit as a fantasy owner from Kerryon is that, you know, he's probably going to be this team's two-minute back this year. You know, that was Theo Riddick's role last year, but Kerryon's a good enough receiver that it makes sense to keep him on the field. The rookie Ty Johnson, he's really fast. Maybe he could play some of that role, but I would expect that Kerryon, look, he's going to lose some touchdown and maybe some goal line touches to CJ, but I would expect that maybe he, you know, you fall into another reception or two because of the Lions, the way that they'll keep him on the field in 2-minute offenses.
And you mentioned the two tight end sets. That's got to be a benefit for Kerryon as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in theory, it's going to help them, you know, run the ball a little bit better. You know, I, as I said, you know, the Lions are sort of, you know, bringing TJ Hockenson along slowly, only giving him a small portion of the offense, but just it's football 101, right? That when you have these guys on the field, that they're sort of matchup problems. And so that's what the Lions want to do. If another team wants to go in a sub package and the Lions have their two tights, you know, they're going to run the ball. If another team is in their base package, will they feel that they can flex those tight ends out and maybe create a mismatch somewhere downfield?
You mentioned CJ Anderson, and they have speedy rookie Ty Johnson as well. How are they going to factor into the run game?
Yeah, I don't know that either from a fantasy perspective is really worth, you know, owning. I mean, CJ's going to get some touchdowns. He probably will be, you know, the goal line back for this team. So maybe it just depends how deep your league is. But, you know, I don't know that he's going to put up a huge rushing total or really cut into Kerryon's, you know, carries or production all that much. You know, Johnson's a guy that he's looked really promising going back to the spring. I mean, he's got some speed. He can get to the edge. He can catch the ball a little bit better. They didn't use him that way at Maryland, but he certainly has shown the ability to be a factor in the passing game here in training camp. You know, again, I think for now, he doesn't have a clear pathway to the field because Kerryon is the number one. CJ Johnson is the number two. But, you know, if you're in a dynasty league or something, he might be a guy that's worth a late round flyer just to stick on your bench and keep around for see what he develops into.
Well, I am in a dynasty league and I do have him stashed, so this is great to hear. You've mentioned TJ Hockenson a couple times. I want to give him his proper due and dive into him a little bit more. Last year when we talked, this tight end room was pretty abysmal for fantasy, but that changed when they drafted Hockenson, as you mentioned, 8th in the draft. And while redraft listeners were here for Kerryon content, I know a lot of dynasty gamers are here for some Hockenson talk. He's getting buzz. What's it like seeing him in practice, and what's a realistic expectation for his production in year one?
He's been a good player. I mean, he's been sort of what they, you know, thought he would be. I mean, he's a good intermediate route runner, you know, has pretty sure hands. You know, I can only think of a pass, maybe two, that he's dropped. I mean, he's a big target in the red zone. You know, I would keep the expectations in check for 2019 just based on being a rookie at a pretty difficult position, tight end. But overall, I think, you know, if you do have a long-term outlook, you know, he's a guy that's worth keeping around because, look, you know, it's not just the fact that they drafted him that high, but it's the fact that he's going to, once he gets caught up in the offense and up to speed in the NFL game, he's going to be on the field a lot because he can block and he can catch and he can run routes and you can do a whole lot with him. So I think the volume will be there in time for him. You know, he's this year you're probably looking at 40 or 50 catches, you know, maybe he's 5 touchdowns. I mean, somewhere in that sort of neighborhood. But yeah, I think the future is pretty bright for TJ Hockenson.
How high is his ceiling? Are we talking a Kelce? Are we talking a Gronk? Or is that a little bit unrealistic?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put that on him now, right? I mean, Gronk's one of the best to ever do it. You know, Kelce just puts up crazy numbers. We'll see what sort of downfield threat, you know, Hockenson becomes. I think for right now, like I said, he's a really good intermediate pass catcher, and he certainly will be a big red zone target for this team. He'll play a big role in that game. That's why I say the touchdowns may be there this year, even if the receptions or the yards aren't. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to be a 100 catch guy, you know, like we've seen a Zach Ertz or a Kelce or some of those guys, you know, really threaten that number. But yeah, I think, you know, the hope from the Lions, at least, and why they drafted him that high is because they think he's going to, you know, be a 70 or 80 catch guy along with being a factor as a blocker.
What is it like to have a guy like Hockenson out there now compared to years before with this tight end group?
Well, you know, the thing that strikes you, I think, when you watch this team is just the sheer size that they have. You know, Hockenson's 6'5", Jesse James is an inch or two taller. I mean, Kenny Galladay's a big receiver. You know, Marvin Jones, not as physically big, but he's a tall receiver too. You know, they just have a lot of size, and I think that especially stands out at the tight end room. You know, I've said it's sort of like a Division II basketball team in there. You know, there's just a lot of big bodies that can, I think, can beat you in a lot of different ways. And, you know, you're going to see Stafford throw some fade routes. We see it in practice sometimes where, you know, if Stafford's put putting the ball where it should be. There's just not a way to defend those tight ends sometimes because the defensive backs just aren't big enough. So that's the biggest thing to me that stands out about what the Lions have done with their tight end.
I love it. You mentioned Jesse James. Is he about as far as it goes in terms of other tight ends worth mentioning?
Yeah, from a fantasy perspective, I mean, I would say that James and Hockenson are sort of the co-starters at the position. You know, James being the vet, the guy that's been around. You know, he's going to play a pretty big role this year. You know, Logan Thomas will be on this team, and he's a pretty good special teams player, and he's a nice, you know, third tight end. I don't know that he's going to have a whole bunch of catches. You know, I don't know that Jesse James's numbers are really going to spike up from what he did in Pittsburgh either, so keep your expectations limited there. But I do think, just given what the Lions will do at the position, you know, that there's at least a little bit of an upside potential with what he can do offensively.
Dave, you're a veteran sports writer covering this team from a thoughtful perspective, but I'm going to ask you to dip into the hot take world for a second. What is your boldest fantasy prediction for the Detroit Lions in 2019?
Well, boldest fantasy prediction. Look, I mean, I don't know how bold it is, but I do think Kerryon Johnson is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher this year. I mean, I just think, like I said, I'm buying on Kerryon. You know, I think he's probably going to catch 50 balls or somewhere around there too. I really think they're going to, you know, we saw it last year where the Lions, they sort of kept him off the field in the preseason some because they didn't want to show what they thought they had. And then they, you know, slowly started giving him more and more, and then he got hurt, and all of a sudden his season was over. And I think this year it's sort of the same thing. You know, we didn't see a lot of him in week one. We haven't seen a lot of him in joint practices. They know what he is and what he means to this team, and he's going to play a pretty big role, and he's going to be important to everything that they do. So I think Kerryon's going to, you know, I don't know what that's going to total. You know, maybe he's got 1,500 yards between rushing and receiving, which is a pretty nice little total for a running back. I don't know if that's running back one material in fantasy, but I think he's definitely worthy of a pretty high draft pick.
Dave, you've said it all. Where can we find all your stuff?
Yeah, freak.com, freep.com. That's our website with all of our Lions news. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can always do that at Dave Burkett. It's BIRKETT.
Well, if this team operates as efficiently as you just did covering them, they're in good position this season. Thank you so much. And I look forward to hopefully talking again next year.
Sounds good. Happy to do it.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Kerryon Johnson, 1,000 yards. I really need to get some exposure to this guy. I'm slacking. And if you made it here, you are now dialed in.